Again, this is the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com, the internet. You're welcome to join us anytime, 24/7. We'll actually be podcasting and hosting other shows and individuals that want to talk or present, and we will be working on that and getting you on the air, getting you on the internet, and you'll have a voice. And I'm excited about it. You just don't know what's available, what's at our fingertips now. We don't really need others and to tell our story. We don't need others to come and report our plight. We don't need others to write an article and then stimulate a fight. All that is at your fingertips now. And nothing new. I'm sure many of you just really have a capacity of mental capacity of making the internet sing for you. I've watched some people and I marvel at you, how you do the Facebook Live and what have you. And we'll try to incorporate some of that. But again, the basic thing I've learned is that talk. If you can get your story out there and others are listening and doing the Facebook and all of that, you'd be amazed the amount of response that you can get and the power in your voice. And you don't have to worry about it and wait till someone come and tell your story. Tell it yourself. And the key is be factual, be honest, and to your best ability. Do not create a story. There's enough out there that present themselves that you don't need to manufacture anything. It's bad enough as it is. So feel free to contact me at carol@carolcox.com or carol@carolcox is the email. Send me an email and we'll talk or set you up on the blog here, or the internet. And don't forget to go to KWAI 1080 AM. Name them now, but if you go to carolcox.com, you'll still find the same postings in all those older shows. And go to talk808.com, and then you can see the new things that we're going to be doing and incorporating video and what have you. And if you were to get a driver's license, you know, and then you take you got to go get one, and the rules now are very strict. And so if you've been a victim of several of these Nazi-style evictions or seizure of your property because you're sleeping outdoors, how are you going to get a driver's license when you need your birth certificate, you need some passport, or you need these vital papers, and then in turn you can't get them because they've been seized from you and destroyed? Because they tell you, you can come and pick them up, but where did you pick them up? I'm familiar with that process. They were storing much of the stuff. They'd seize it and take it to Halava, and then in turn store it in the city property there in gray trash cans, and they would commingle it. So imagine trying to get your stuff back, or imagine trying to get up there from where you had your material seized. So these are the types of things, and we're not going to be apologetic and passive about it. We're going to try and expose it, bring it to the table as factual as we are able to find out the facts related to it. And, you know, it might be offensive to some, but so what? It's nothing like being disrespectful to human beings and then asking your government to do what's right.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the most important things is to realize that is a humanitarian crisis that is only going to continue to build in Hawaii just the military alone. If they didn't have the HOLA and COLA, they would find themselves right in the same predicament as the regular community. So I think you said you need $35 an hour just to afford a two-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new HUD, what was the low income about for a family of four, about $94,000 or something like that, was what they predicted someone in Honolulu needs to earn. And so it's just really, it's only century that this is the way we're treating people. Like you said, the old days, at least a guy could jump on a bus car and have a little bit of safety and get a little bit of rest. Now, from what I'm reading in the newspaper, it's going to be an island-wide shun of any homeless person just trying because the health conditions when you're homeless, people don't talk about that, the edema and, not getting a good night's rest and, the whole thing of not having a place to even go to the bathroom, it's just not a good predicament. And you've got families, and like you said, you've got people that are ill, fighting cancer and all kinds of things. So it's just so unfortunate, Carl, that we're not doing a better job to care for our fellow citizens. They are fellow citizens.
Yeah, one of the things that grabs my attention is that, as an example, when you listen to radio or TV or the news, or you pick up a newspaper, you read identity theft. Identity theft is on the rise. And you could be destroyed. And I listen to that and I watch it and I ask myself, well, if it can destroy you in that fashion, you'll end up on the streets. So the government tells you that it's your independent problem when we know it's a blight that's impacting and threatens all of us. More persistent on when you're caught stealing the ID or doing something to protect or having something in place, some law that allows protection, affords a person protection if you are a victim of personal identity theft. If that's the case, there should be allowances for that, but nothing. So you're on your own either way. So if you're today, you got lots, and someone steals your identity and destroys you, you're out on the street. Then you get to see just what it's like. So you can end up on the streets 101 ways. And many of those are not your own, at your own expense, because the rent could be increased. That's not your fault. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you've talked about in the past a lot the concern of senior citizens and property tax.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I get a little teary-eyed when I look at this on TV and I see the government had a cleanup today and the cameras zoom in on and where will they be going tomorrow? Where are they going to be? Well, we don't know where they're going to be going tomorrow. We have homes. We have homeless shelters for them. And then you say, well, gee, an article just came out saying the number of homeless was very high. And you said that you don't have enough facilities. So what's going to give here, right?
Right. And it's always that dynamic of they say one thing and they show another thing. And so what is the truth and what do you believe? Because on one hand, they're saying, well, we got to get more nonprofits to build more shelters and blah, blah, blah. Asking for money, but then when the homeless people are like happened down when they were congregating at Papa Ako, well, they should all be in a shelter, but yet we knew like Next Step was full and IHS was full. All these places were filled up, and then a lot of them, you might get there, but if you've got an ongoing health concern and like cancer and you're getting radiation and the bed bugs are eating you up, your own doctor is going to tell you, you're going to have to think of something else. So there's not ever the perfect situation. But I think just chasing people around and stealing their stuff is not the answer.
Yeah, and stealing the stuff, that's bothersome and troublesome. But what's worse is arresting them and putting them in the judicial system.
Correct.
That criminalizing being an unsuccessful human being. But the success is, what is success, right?
Right.
Who'd have thought that you could be treated like a felon if you had no home?
Absolutely, they do.
And
it's just really one of the saddest things that we've come to in society.
And I think this is kind of crazy talk for some that would be listening, but and they would say, well, what side of the street is he on? But on one hand, I'm really happy that Donald Trump has invaded the White House, so to speak, because it shows the cronyism that exists within the Democratic Party. If Donald Trump can get in office, that means the people felt something. They felt that they were being deprived, cheated, lied to, and doing all placated and circumvented and whatever the negative part of it is by the Democrats. You know, It says a lot. I mean, in Honolulu in Hawaii is a Democratic state and have been here for a while, and they pride themselves on being Democrats. But the sad sight that you see, the children sleeping on the streets, and then they remind you how horrible Donald Trump is for separating the kids. And that's a horrible thing. But is there anybody that's going to point out that the Democratic Party here in Hawaii behaves equally as Mr. Donald Trump? No. No, they're not, because the haves will continue to pump it up and try and get their 2-3 retirements from state government, get their families in hired for state government, get their friends hired. And that's why we are also struggling, because to pay their salaries and their pensions and what have you, we are actually upset that I got to raise the rental price. And then there's...
Correct.
There's no, I don't know of any law here that prevents or speaks to any homeowner or landowner or property owner gouging the public or falsely setting and increasing or inflating the cost of living as it relates to rent.
Well, and the military even has an impact on that, because you have military families that are getting HOLA and COLA, so you have a sailor or a soldier that not only gets his regular pay, but he gets this extra boost of HOLA and COLA, and that's why I was talking about that earlier. And no normal family you can't compete with that. And so you got landlords that are only looking to rent to the military personnel, and the military personnel would not be able to even afford that apartment or townhouse or home without the HOLA and COLA. And so it's really the corporations, the businesses, who are paying minimum wage, there's no way for that employee to keep up with this cycle there is of high rent in Honolulu.
I had a gentleman the other day that works for the state, and he was sharing with me the hardship that living in housing presents. And then you're living in housing, there are certain rules, right? And you must have rules in order to, when you're in a community.
Sure.
And you make $1,000 or to qualify for that housing, you have to make less than a certain amount, right?
Right.
But if you go out and make more than that, you then have to pay more, or you have to move out or something. It's
so you become disqualified.
So imagine trying to navigate that, just that aspect of it. And then you, mm-hmm. And what I hear most of the time, the people in some of these affordable homes and what have you, or public housing, are run by private entities. And some of these private entities can charge or do or harass the hell out of you until just drive you out of the property. Now you're homeless. And I was told that by some homeless, getting a house is one thing. Getting in is a struggle to stay in. Get kicked out or exceeding the dollar amount that you, but it's not going to allow you to go into the regular market and rent.
Right.
So you're left in limbo. So
yeah, if you get an eviction at a public housing, I think that's pretty much anywhere across the United States, it becomes even harder. You basically probably are going to become homeless. And then the need to get that next house, you're probably going to need 3 times your income. Mm-hmm. And so you're never going to qualify to that jump, Carol.
And generally, these people have children. And so now, going back to the, we're all horrified that children would be separated and taken from the, snatched from the arms of their mothers and fathers at the border. But here in Hawaii, they just drive the whole damn family out. They don't care.
Yeah.
You understand? And then they turn and say, ooh, look at the Trump. Look at Trump. He's evil. He's this. He's that. And there's nobody going to say to them, but brother, sister, you work for the government. You're evil too. These things come on your watch. See, we don't have that kind of talk. We have exposés on homelessness, and we have a nice little music that plays, and the homeless crises. What is being done? You know, they make a entertainment out of it, right?
Yeah.
And then it fades away, and then maybe comes back. But they let them off the hook in this town. They don't really hold their feet to the fire. So it's really it's a struggle, man. But this is how is this sounding, by the way, coming? You can't hear it now, but again, this is Carol Cox on Talk808.com. The Carol Cox Show. This is our new format, new place of broadcasting. And you can get us at Facebook, that Talk808.com or Talk808 Facebook, and we'll set up a Twitter account, and we'll do YouTube. But pretty excited about it, just having to get all the hardware and trying to. We're not trying to emulate anybody in media. We don't. That's not our interest. If you don't like how we say it, then there are many other places you can listen to or don't listen at all. We're not going to be sassy about it and disrespectful, but we're not putting on a show. We're trying to make it available for the public to have a voice, speaking to the issues in the community. And people having no homes, they still care. They care about everything like you and I. It's just that they have a bump in their lifestyle that is a little bit of, presents a hardship, but they're still human beings. They still have desires. They still like clean air. They still like clean water. They want to know about their sustainable food sources. They want to know all of that. They just made a wrong turn, or someone ran them off the road, so to speak, but it's not always at the hands of them what that causes them to end up on the street. It's about failing government, misrepresentation by government, failure to represent, and courting big business. That's probably some of the major factors in contributing to the population, the large population of homelessness or homeless people here in Hawaii. So tell us what kind of things you're going to try and bring to us. You're always a good source back there.
Well, we're still working on, we're looking to put together another rally. We're still needing the Sunday bus service. There's still a lot of people here that are paying exorbitant prices on Sunday through Uber or Lyft. Or there's one gal works at the airport, walks 45 minutes. She's a senior citizen just to get up to the other bus route. So we're looking at putting that together again. Now that people have been understanding and paying the higher price, they gave us a new bus line at a higher price with the same service. We still don't get that Sunday bus.
So
we're going to get back out there on the street and bring it up to city, the mayor, the council, and
okay,
the transportation.
So if you can give us a little background on this, because we know the part of the issue. What is the background? You live in a community that is basically primarily black?
Yeah, it's a historically black community.
Okay.
Here on the west side of East Terrace.
Oak View Terrace. Okay.
We had a crosstown bus that we would pay 90 cents for that would get us out to the main route. Well, they decided last March 2018 that they were going to raise our bus fare to $2.20, and then
to $2.20. So it, originally the bus is 90 cents, and they raise it, they being the city or the bus operators or whoever is responsible, raise the price to $2.20. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
And originally back in February 2017, the operation manager, Larry Kopp, had written to me saying that we were going to start to get a bus service in August of 2017. And what happened, the light rail here was behind, and so that's when the new service was supposed to start. We were supposed to get a Sunday bus. But when the light rail in August was pushed back and the cost, and I'm sure you guys understand how that worked, got pushed back, the city decided they weren't going to give us a Sunday service, even though they already made the decision that they were going to raise our bus fare from a crosstown 90 cents to a full fare, $2.20.
And that $2 and hold on, that $2 and 20 cent then just get you, it's just to the main bus line, or you have to pay more then to get on the main bus
because,
line?
Yeah, that gets you to the main bus line, and then your fare is you're over. But for a lot of people back here in the community, we were used to that 90 cents just to get up to the grocery store. So it's quite a big jump to, it's double the price. Now, anytime you get on the bus, you're paying $2.20.
Just to get to the main bus.
Yeah.
Just to get to the another bus line. You're not gotten to where you're going. So $2.20, then what it costs for it to get on the main line.
And the interesting fact that the operating manager from the Charlotte City bus told me, he said, well, we're taking you to the light rail now. So that's why we have to increase your bus fare. But what I found out is that you still have other communities that are also going to the light rail, but they are still only paying 90 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to ask why, especially after the protest, the city council, the mayor, they said that they really cared about the low economic communities, and that they wanted to work with the communities to help people, and yet this is all we have gotten.
Okay.
It's more cost.
Okay, so what happens then is that other bus lines still allowed to pay 90 cents. This community was raised to $2.20, but also not only was the price raised, they cut back the service. So on Sundays, there is no bus service. That line coming from that Oakview Terrace is no longer in existence.
No, and there never was a Sunday bus, and that's what started the original rally. Is a lot of us have to work on Sunday, and we're having to figure out alternative ways, whether it's Uber, which could cost you anywhere from $13 to $25 one way, or we're walking 45 minutes and we're walking across busy highways and train tracks out of this community just to get to a bus line. And it also includes most holidays, like 4th of July, we didn't have a bus. Veterans Day, there's no bus stop.
But other communities have Sunday buses.
Correct.
Okay, but it's just that this community, they promise one, then this, and they say they would raise a fee. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then they raised a fee, but then didn't follow through on giving the bus service on
correct.
Sunday.
The Sunday service, correct.
Okay. Well, that's the South.
So what, you know, as people are understanding this more in the community, because at first they didn't really understand, and then they would see the new bus, the number 3, and they didn't realize we still weren't getting the Sunday bus. And so as they started paying that new fare, that full amount, people are really understanding what this impact was and is to our community. And so we're going to get out there again, and we're going to try to bring more awareness and do some rallies like we did last time when you had a lot of my community members on the radio that talking about that we just want equal bus service and fair treatment.
Okay, well,
we have a lot of veterans here too, and a lot of disabled veterans that this is affecting. So again, it's just everyone wants to say they're mad at the football players that want to go on bended knee, but yet there's so many veterans that are suffering. They're underserved, they're underemployed, and then they can't even get out of their own community. Like on Veterans Day, we have no bus service. So like you said, people get mad at Donald Trump, and yet they're not even looking within their own community. They're saying, the football players are wrong, they shouldn't be kneeling.
Right.
That's not respectful to the veterans. But yet, how is this respectful to the veterans?
Well, it's easy.
Whether they're homeless or lack of transportation.
Yeah, well, it's easy to tell the other guy what he's doing wrong. But I look at here in Hawaii, and I look at many other situations where the people that are benefiting from the veterans programs are the guys that I see on the golf courses who are running veteran programs, and guys that are eating fancy lunches and dinners and what have you, and wearing nice suit and ties. Not saying they've got to wear overalls and greasy sleeves. But when you see a veteran sleeping under the freeway and under the bridges or on the sidewalk just in the rain, And all of this is going on, and we're saying we praise our veterans, but the reality is we're really not. There shouldn't be any human being without a place to live, but that's not realistic, and that there's always going to be some problem that compel or force that person out there that beyond control, but it's the safety net that does not exist. That there will never be homeless people because they're for millennia. There's always been people that don't want to live in houses, and there are those that I know a couple, they'll tell you, I don't want to live in a house. But then that's their choice. But when a little kid, snotty nose, sitting there hungry, no health care, exposed to flies, mosquitoes, and insects and bites and what have you, living in the weeds with the parents, with the shanty top, and people driving by in their Lexus with a state ID card wrapped around it, with a lanyard wrapped around the neck saying, we're headed out here to look at, there's a new development going on, and we're going to make sure that they comply with the zoning rules. And then there's another displacement. And then on their way back, they go, well, did you see all those homeless people there? We get on the phone and call the mayor and let him know that there's a bunch of homeless people hanging out on public property. Can't have that. That's the way the game's played here in Hawaii. And they all, and many of the people that are the church groups and the people that are handling these issues, they won't tell the mayor what they really need to tell him, that his game is bogus. They won't tell the legislators because they want to get that grant. In many of these instances, the grant money is what they live on, they being the organization. And they go around then talk. And every nickel that we have set aside should go straight to the homeless concerns, not to salaries and all of that. And that's the way it is. Make these facilities available. Spend that money in building and setting up facilities. Quit talking about it. Just do it. It's going to work out. Well, anyway, that's been an hour. And thank you for joining me there. I appreciate you helping me do the dry run here. And you got good reception back there.
Yeah, it was great, and I'm looking forward to hearing more stories of Top 808 over here on the East Coast. So thanks, Carol, for letting me join in today.
Okay, well, thank you, Tina Quizon in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, in fact. So we seem to be getting there. It'll be there. So thank you again, and aloha.
Aloha, thank
you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Again, this is the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com, the Internet. You're welcome to join us anytime, 24/7. We'll actually be podcasting and hosting other shows and individuals that want to talk or present, and we will be working on that and getting you on the air, getting you on the Internet, and you'll have a voice. And I'm excited about it. You just don't know what's available, what's at our fingertips now. We don't really need others and to tell our story. We don't need others to come and report our plight. We don't need others to write an article and then stimulate a fight. All that is at your fingertips now. And nothing new. I'm sure many of you just really have a capacity of mental capacity of making the Internet sing for you. I watch some people and I marvel at you, how you do the Facebook Live and what have you. And we'll try to incorporate some of that. But again, the basic thing I've learned is that talk. If you can get your story out there and others are listening and doing the Facebook and all of that, you'd be amazed the amount of response that you can get. And the power in your voice, and you don't have to worry about it and wait till someone come and tell your story. Tell it yourself. And the key is be factual, be honest, and to your best ability. Do not create a story. There's enough out there that present themselves that you don't need to manufacture anything. It's bad enough as it is. So feel free to contact me at carol@carolcox.com or carol@carolcox is the email. Send me an email and we'll talk or set you up on the blog here, or the Internet. And don't forget to go to KWAI 1080 AM. Name them now, but if you go to carolcox.com, you'll still find the same postings in all those older shows. And go to talk808.com, and then you can see the new things that we're going to be doing and incorporating video and what have you. And much of the video that we're going to try to rely on and incorporate is going to be actually raw footage. We're going to try to shoot it in a format that that's not offensive and not, vulgarities. We don't subscribe or ascribe to that. We'll give you a real polished finished product, and when we can't, we'll give you the raw footage and then let you see that we're not trying to shape news, we're just trying to report it and community efforts and what have you. But there's a lot of things that you, I'm sure you're aware of, and we've talked about them. There's the concern with the cat population and this effort by the state health department, state DLNR, the National Marine Fisheries Service. And it all revolves around, I noticed just yesterday, they were baby boom. They're talking about monk seals, and this is in the Star Advertiser yesterday. Famous mama Rocky is expecting another pup in a record year for monk seal birth in Hawaii. Now, I suspect that this now, because, see, we weren't getting many of these lovable articles. In fact, they would tell you one of the big thrusts was that and concerns, but we don't want to tell anybody that about the babies being born because they'll go out there and harm them. now there's a change in that. And so I suspect this change that we're hearing and we're reading about, and they're so eager to tell us about the new birth, is to justify this so-called misinformed approach to toxoplasmosis. And I'm for the protection of monk seals and any other species, but I don't like to have my government manipulating me and others and then wrongfully spend money and never address the problem. So there's this debate. Well, it's really not a debate. It's a one-sided effort on the part of NOAA and DLNR, Department of Land and Natural Resources, to demonize the cat. See, they've made efforts, and cats should not be in the wild. They should not. But what I would like to see, if they want to address the cat population, do a humane spay-neuter, trap and return, or trap and foster. But not just the wholesale killing, because, you see, there's no mechanism in place other than the, quote, alien species campaign. But there's an alien species. Each step you take, you're stepping on 10, 20 alien species, either bugs that were imported in horticultural practices or agricultural purposes, birds, the egret were brought here, which is now impacting the native population of birds, mongoose that were brought here by the government. But you don't see the National Marine Fisheries Service talking about the protection and killing and eradication of the mongoose. You don't see them saying, well, it's come time now to obey the law and adhere to the law and prohibit the nearshore fishery or shore fishermen or whomever using the large hooks that are impaling the monk seal and possibly contributing to the death of the monk seal. You don't see that, and that's by mandate. NOAA had to file a report and a study to address that, but that's been a foot drag for some while now. So I have concerns that this is a ruse. This thing is to play it up with the toxoplasmosis, and I've said this on many other occasions. Where is NOAA when it comes to if the federal government facilities has spillage? What happened? Hickam has a spill. What happened? Sewage spill. Now, if sewage, and human beings can have toxoplasmosis in it too, but I'm a believer in that something is wrong when the government workers and those like in NOAA that sit there, and we've covered many stories about them, and there's one drunkard party they posted on their Facebook, and they early on they talked about it was appearance of monk seal being impacted by toxoplasmosis from cats. So my question is, if it in fact that it is impacted by cats, and the toxoplasmosis that, quote, killed the last three monk seals that we know of that died. My concern is that how, if they know it's toxoplasmosis, then show us the cat that it came from, or show us the route, the specific route where you know that the cat in a particular area went to the bathroom, defecated, and then that washed down the stream and then was impacted the three monk seal, and then they died. I'd like to see that, so it's because it's a long stretch. It's a really big jump to go from that point to, oh, it's toxoplasmosis and it killed the monk seal. Secondly, I have asked on many occasions to have pictures provided to me of monk seals that were killed or marine mammals that were killed and floated up or washed up or crawled up before someone bashed their heads in at Mo'omome on Molokai, on the island of Molokai. So what was I told? Well, this is nonsense. So when you figure out this is why I don't trust anything Noah says, and I'll give you more examples shortly. Number one, they don't report it. Number two, they rarely get it reported until someone calls them up, and they have volunteers who, in turn, you ask them, can I get a picture of that, or can you? Oh, well, my son took the pictures, and I'll have him to send them to you. And then later, well, no, the Noah don't want to give you the pictures. Okay? And Noah then chimes in and says, well, and DLNR, in agreement, well, on another occasion, we can't give you the pictures because it was in such a decomposed state that we wouldn't want that to go public. But yet, they're willing and able to go make a long jump and say that the toxoplasmosis that's found in the monk seal came from the cats. I'm not offering this to defend the cats. I'm offering this to say that you can't trust the government, both the federal and the state and its contractors, because it's big money. It pays a lot. You get a lot of money. You can get $5, $6, $10, $15 million, so you can squander and play games with and bring your children and your relatives and hire them as interns and what have you, and have a nice little cozy family gathering. And that's what's happening in the past, and you have volunteers doing what the job is that should be done by federal employees or state employees. Speaking of that relationship, there's a joint enforcement action. NOAA pays the DLNR approximately $1 million annually, I think, and NOAA has no way or ability to confirm that DLNR is actually doing anything. And I will tell you, from my knowledge firsthand, is that the DLNR has not fulfilled its position or its agreement to get the joint enforcement money from NOAA for marine mammals. In fact, what they do is they're giving overtime and begging its officers to work overtime. And all that requires now is that if you're driving down the highway and you look out across the ocean and you see you're near the shoreline, you claim that is joint enforcement action. And so you then pencil in or write in and submit, I gave 2, 3, 4 hours of overtime working on the capacity to do that, to monitor the marine mammals. So DLNR then sees that and decide, well, just pencil something in. I'm hearing this firsthand by some of the workers and officers that work for DLNR. In fact, in Guam, the marine mammals, it was so bad that they gave, I'm told, this is my understanding, it's reported that in Guam, the Guamanian game wardens or that wildlife department couldn't deliver, so they had to hire the customs. So much of this marine mammal enforcement activity and marine mammal protection on the part of NOAA is actually third hand, contracted out. In fact, if you were standing at Lanai Lookout and you saw a whale, as I did, with a balloon or buoy wrapped around it and a line wrapped around its tail, and you see a DLNR boat just right at Hawaii Kai, and you get on the phone and you call the emergency number, and the emergency number responds is a number that's in near Seattle, Washington, and that person wouldn't know Lanai Lookout, couldn't pronounce certain names, and says, well, we'll get back to you. Never got back to us. So this is much of this love and protection and mandated federal protection that is required and funded is treated lightly, and it's allowed many people to squander and take money. And if we had an honest backing of enforcement here, through the Attorney General's office or whomever, or the federal government, to ask and audit, and they will find that much of this is just a big shibai or a big lie of how they're protecting the marine mammals. There really is no protection. Even the swim with programs of the dolphins that are being molested and harassed out there in Poikai Bay and various other places along the west side, or any side where swim with or the boats that are supposedly touring and looking at them, but placing their people in the water to disturb them, or the people that go out from shore and swim. These activities present a powerful and a negative impact on the marine mammal. So I am still looking to see how and why. What is it in their bonnet that they believe, the NOAA believe, that it must be so aggressive and ignore the real issues and the failures and the shortcomings that they are presenting themselves with this hands-off, here's some money. It's like the stepfather or the father who is divorced and he comes by and he's really busy with his other family, so he comes by and hands the kid some money and says, take care of yourself, boy. And the kid raises himself so dad can claim, yeah, I took care of him, I gave him money. Well, that's Noah. They're giving the child, this strange child, money so he can raise himself. They're giving DLNR money so that DLNR, which can't do much, because you got to understand, many of these animals are active at nighttime and they lay on the beaches, but DLNR is not actively out enforcing at night. They may have one or two, but most of DLNR's activities at nighttime, a large percentage of it, the enforcement activities is special duty permits, firework shows, filming shows, or things of that nature where there's state property being used. So I don't believe that NOAA is being sincere about what is actually occurring with the monk seal. They are not involved and engaged, and I have yet to see one letter where there was a major sewage spill, or not even just a major, minor, them chime in or say anything. And sewage water is sewage water, not to mention the chemicals and the estrogens and the antibiotics and all of those things that we flush down the drain, that we find ourselves giving or passing off as medication and what have you. All of that is this one big soup. And then they say, well, the toxoplasmosis that we detected in the monk seal came from the cat. And you ask them, well, did you study any other source? Well, no, we've just been focusing on the cats. Well, and we're just waiting for time to take effect. Is to actually, those necropsies, we're going to make a request that we be allowed to submit the same tissue samples that they've submitted to a veterinarian to do a necropsy, do an independent necropsy, and then try and track that back and compare. But getting a necropsy, a full report from the NOAA is rather, it's a struggle. And then the way they handle things is rather discouraging. So we're going to ask that, but, you know, there are some challenges maybe we need to, because it is a federally endangered species and it's a marine mammal, so we would need to have a facility that has the license or permit to handle that. And so we're trying to figure out what to make the formal request and then have the necropsy done independent, because just because Uncle Sam says so doesn't mean it is so. And I've learned that over the years. And just to give you a little bit of history about monk seal and me, back in the 1990s, in that era, I came here and worked as a special agent with Fish and Wildlife Service. And there was a couple occasions where Monk Seal was being impacted. So we found ourselves at the University of Hawaii in the theater, or the auditorium, with some NOAA employees and special agents from NOAA law enforcement. And they proceeded to show pictures of Monk Seals being clubbed, being shot, being hooked by a fisherman off of the French Frigate Shoals in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. And this was not a beautiful sight. Their concern was that they didn't want the public to know. And they were withholding that information and refusing to disclose that information. So, because the Monk Seal is actually protected, it falls under the jurisdiction primarily of the National Marine Fisheries Service and not the Fish and Wildlife Service, whom I work for, was not, it was their biliwak, or their kuleana, as we say here in Hawaii. And it was rather disturbing, to say the least, that here's an agency, and with its biologists and the people responsible, refusing to go public and wanted to show these. And so the big question was, why? Why are you showing it? Why would we even go through the motion? So I took it upon myself to ask the biologists that work for Fish and Wildlife Service if they would, on the next occasion, film any impacts you see of hooks being removed, or any monk seals with hooks in their mouth. And just so happened, a couple of days later, I get a call, French Frigate Shoals, there's a monk seal with the trailing a long piece of monofilament, maybe the 400-pound test line. And it poses a threat because where the hook was, and if it tangled, it could drown or whatever. And plus, it was a take. It was not authorized. It was just, and to say the least, painful. So we were able to film that. I got the video and contacted the Star Advertiser, the Star Bulletin, and talked to one of the reporters. And there was a discussion that we will do the story, and at that time it was Saddam Hussein in power, and there was a threat that he was going to use gas and weaponry, and so the paper said if they don't go through with the chemical weapons, then we'll run with the story, because clearly it was, you know, something of greater importance. But they would run it later if they, well, they didn't use the gas, and they wrote the story. And on there it talked about monk seals being hooked. That was the first time that NOAA was public. And then from there that led to a closure. Some of you may be familiar with that closure. I think... I'm speaking off the top of my head now, but any of the islands, main islands, you had to stay 50 miles offshore, or had to en route. You could not use line or what have you. And then that led to, amongst other things, the VMS, Vessel Management System, where it required them to put on a beaker, and that would let Coast Guard know where they were at all times and what area they would be fishing in. So my point is, why did NOAA, who we now listening to about this toxoplasmosis, same agency, why did NOAA have that? Why did NOAA feel that it needed to not disclose that information or take legal action? Why? Why did NOAA find itself in a convening a meeting in a auditorium to show these pictures and yet do nothing about it? So there were many things, and so for I go out and I participate in a spay neuter program, and it just rips me up for one reason. The more you go out there and try to reduce the population through trap neuter release, you're constantly receiving people dumping kittens, dumping pregnant cats, stealing a neighbor's cat, trapping it and transporting it to the parks or wherever and dumping them. And yet, you don't have an aggressive action from NOAA to speak to that kind of behavior, to speak to the actual humane control of the animal. Instead, let's initiate a campaign to lie to the people instead of telling them the truth, because if you told them the truth, then we would see the inadequacies in your program and your willingness to ignore federal law that protect these species. And it will show that you really don't take, this is not a priority. Your priority is protecting the fishing industries and not the resources. It would be clear. It's clear to me. So when I see this, and we talk about the outfall, so what goes up must come down, so to speak. So when you flush your toilet, if you're on antibiotics or you're on medical radiation or chemo and or whatever, or you spray your toilet with a cleanser and you flush it, and it goes to the wastewater treatment plant. And the wastewater treatment plant is not the top of the line treatment facility. And in fact, I don't know what they're using now, but at one time, ultraviolet lights, and they were problematic and they would burn out and what have you. But Schofield Barracks, you got Wahiwa wastewater treatment plant, you got Wahiwa Reservoir. And they'll tell you, don't buy into this lie. Where's the feds? Where's NOAA? What is it understanding? I bet you wouldn't be able to find one of them that knows just where wastewater dumped out of the sewage treatment plant in Wahiwa into the Wahiwa Reservoir and then flows into a flume that Dole used to own or still own and dumps into, a major portion of it dumps into the Kalkonahua stream, finding its way back out to Haleiwa through the Long Bridge area. And Kaiaka Bay is just filthy from sewage water that comes out of Wahiwa Reservoir and Schofield Barracks. Yet, you don't hear NOAA talk about those things. So I'm not taking issue with them. It might be toxoplasmosis, but I'm also saying their lies and their cover-up and their manipulation is toxic in itself. And it still does not address the problem of people abandoning cats. We need more aggressive programs to aid people when they own pets. Do not allow them to dump them along the roads. If you own a pet, unless you're a breeder or something, must be spayed, neutered. Some control. But instead, you want to initiate this war against the people that pair pants to go down there and trap or capture anything. Nothing. But they will demonize the people that are there that are trapping, neutering, and putting them back, so therefore the population. But instead, as you go and trap and neuter and release one, you might find yourself discovering four more that someone else has dumped. Or joining properties, not managing. So, there is Sand Island Industrial Park. Many of the people there feed cats or dump cats or just have no program. It's state land. These cats migrate. No control. So I just think that this baby boom headlines and what have you, that talking about the monk seal is being disingenuous and at most being dishonest. Not disingenuous, because there's no genius in their behavior. It's just basic lies. It's basic manipulation. So what happens in this situation? You take Noah and its officers to protect the endangered species, the marine mammals. If you go to Noah and ask them, could we see your boats or your ship that you patrol the oceans to enforce the law? Now, the officers are great people. Don't get me wrong. This isn't about the officer. It's about the big lie that the agency is perpetuating. And then the Western Pacific Fisheries Council having control over. And you know that the Coast Guard sits on the Western Pacific Fisheries Council, as it does in many of the councils. And they have no voting right, per se. Their vote don't count. But you sit on that, and then you can eventually find your way to heading NOAA, Protective Species Agent Area, or office, or what have you. Like, I think there's Michael Tosato, who served on NOAA Westpac Fisheries Council. So you got one big party there. And in that process, you still have the JEA, money being squandered by state agencies, especially by DLNR. So if we want to talk protection of the monk seal, when I arrived here also, birds were being killed by the hundreds daily. Shark finning was just out of control. And we worked aggressively to actually have shark fin banned, thanks to Ben Cayetano, the governor, who signed the banning and then followed with others. And we were quite instrumental in participating and contributing to that. So when it comes to this false pretenses that people that try to feed cats or care for cats or try to do something rather than sitting on their asses and just talking, and I'm an environmentalist and I think that cats should never be in the wild, and I agree with you, but do something. But that something has to be humane, and that something has to be honest and consistent with being fair. Not just lie because you're going to abuse your authority because you work for the federal government or you work for a private company who's serving a contract. That doesn't hold water. It just does not work. And this is why I still say, no matter what you do, how many lies you tell, how you shape and fold this thing on this debate or this discussion about toxoplasmosis, you're still going to have to face the public. And I might remind you, the public that you have to face is the same people who vote and pay your salary. So, I mean, it's disheartening to sit and discuss about cats. It should be, if you were honest, and if I call you up and says, hey, what about that monk seal that got clubbed to death over there on Mo'omome? Well, we can't say anything. Volunteers are the ones who found it a day or two, 3 days ago, and you don't know anything about it? So they're so casual and hands-off, so to speak, with this, that it's just one big lie. And they have learned now, this thing about the monk seals in the paper about giving birth. Remember, when you are out there, ask yourself, where are the federal people that get paid to do this? And then ask yourself, who are these people that we do see out here? They're volunteers. They love animals. But the problem is, there's no science to their observation. Now, I find it rather comical, but I'm not going to be disrespectful in what I say. But, you know, Rocky, humanizing, you know, I love Montiel. I mean, I'll tell you, I've put my life on the line, and I don't think many of you can make that claim. I love them. But I'm going to also be realistic and say, you know, when we get to the point where Rocky and Kaivi and what have you, and then the federal government comes along and take a bottle of bleach and squirt on them and put a tag in their flippers, and you're calling them Rocky and whatever, how do we know who's Rocky? How do we know who's Kaivi? So they want to play up on that game. You see, because Rocky and Kaivi and Buster and all the other names, that's nice and all well. But what does the federal government do? They don't personalize it that way. It's just another damn animal that's causing a headache for them, and they don't know, and so get some volunteers to do it. And when, for example, at White Plains Beach, I don't want to sound like I'm the meanest guy and the most angry guy, angriest of the people that are around here, but I am, because nothing like good people lying to good people, because nothing good comes of it. We had an incident where a tugboat sank off Ever Beach, that side, about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Now, these are the same people that I'm going to share with you that get out there and talk about protecting the monk seal and that toxoplasmosis is this and that. These same people, a tugboat sinks, and it has, I'm told, 7,500 or 75,000 gallons of diesel fuel. And I apologize if I get the numbers wrong, but it was substantial enough that NOAA and these very same people that call, you know, that tell you now it's a baby boom and Rocky is going to have a baby. How cute. What, you know. But this is for a grown-up play here. They decided, they being NOAA, decided to go and capture the monk seals that were in the wild on that side of Ever Beach and White Plains and those areas, and transport them and keep them in captivity. Now, they captured one female, and she was pregnant. These are the same people that tell you how they love and they're concerned about toxoplasmosis, but how can they regulate their love off and on? Depends on the political situation. Depends on how much money can be milked from the belly of the government so that it could go into private funds and contracting funds. Yeah, right. So what happens is that they take this pregnant female and put her on a truck, on a flatbed truck in a cage, and I have pictures in the whole works, and then transport that animal, pregnant, flopping around. Okay. Never to mention that she was just fine laying on the beach at White Plains with the rest of the monk seal, not bothering anybody, but they were going to protect her. Well, to make a long story short, these same people that love Rocky and want you to join in the chorus and kumbaya and show up at the birthing place with flowers don't give a damn. Miscarriage, and that monk seal was seen floundering or logging, as they say, in Coalina and logging along the coast in one of the channels. And then in turn, they did nothing. Nothing. She died. The baby died. Miscarriage. And yet, now there's this big lie of flotation of, it's toxoplasmosis, but they didn't have the smarts or the well-being or the good thoughts to go out and capture this animal again now, mind you. Because, you know what? It came to their senses that why would they take all these animals in from captivity when this was diesel oil, and most of it would emulsify as it hit the surface in the sun, and then they would didn't have to. It was an overreaction. They didn't rely on science. They relied on something out of the far corners of their leftist mind. See, granola is good for you sometimes, but it's too much sugar in most of it. So protection of the species and talking about toxoplasmosis is really appreciated. But the way you're pushing it down the throat and you're manipulating, you're going to the media and you're using the DLNR to carry up, and both of you are not correct and not being honest in the distribution of the JEA funding. You're lying on that. Oh, we got a lot of overtime left here for JEA. We got $700,000. We need to spend it. We need to show the feds that we're doing some work. Yeah. So, question is, when did you do some work? It shows here you did some work on the same day you had special duty to make an extra salary there. So, isn't that amazing? All these things could be possible. So, when you get a sewage spill at Ala Moana, oh my goodness, hey, shut it down. The people may turn brown. But you never hear Noah go, wait, we have a critically endangered species named Caimana who hangs out at the outrigger. And if you're having to shut down this beach because it's contaminated with sewage water from the sewage spill, did you hear Noah say anything about its monk seal when we had that major spill at Ala Moana? No. Because they're not with it. They got more money than sense, and more sense than they got money, because they're busy trying to justify giving $1 million to DLNR to protect it when they won't get off their asses and go protect it themselves because they don't have a boat of major concern to get out and actually patrol for the marine mammals. They rely on the Coast Guard, and then the Coast Guard is the one who basically monitors and manages the VMS. Now, there are other people in NOAA that manages and monitors the VMS, but it's one big lie. The whole thing about NOAA is one big lie. And so when you can kill a monk seal, stick it in a cave, and historically, NOAA has, I shared that story with you about the UH visiting the UH and being shown all the pictures and the French rigged shows. I'm trying to give you a reason so you'll understand why I suspect that this is just more of the same BS. Nonprofits that are taking over DLNR. So you don't want to have this shining star, this jewel of a project, tainted with the death of monk seals and pilot whales or false killer whales or whatever species that, quote, washes up now, just in Mo'omome, washes up. And then when they're done, they conduct a necropsy. What is said? Oh, it looks like they had trauma. In other words, hit over the head, clubbed, killed with stones or something. But you don't hear them readily, and they don't want to give you pictures because, oh, it is so far degraded or deteriorated that we don't want that image out in the public. Automatically assuming now that I would take and gross someone out, that's not their business. Even if I did, it would still be able to, it's part of public record. So there's a lot of questions to be asked. And a lot of answers should be given. But when Noah gets out there and incorporate this kind of strategy, and then they say, the USGS biologist or veterinarian, Terry Works. Terry Works is an awesome person. You meet him, I believe he's one of the nice people on the planet. But on the other hand, with Noah using his findings, then let me know, what cats and how did it leap from this cat to that cat, and show us that method. You shouldn't be taking it casual or just resting on your findings. Go and dig more, because we want to know if it is in fact toxoplasmosis that's coming from cats, then we need to make a reassessment of do something, but not be tricked through the newspaper articles. And then humanizing, I know the strategy. This Rocky's going to have a new baby, and it's a baby boom. No, it's a bunch of people that's getting too much money for their salaries and not delivering what they are supposed to do, what they're being paid for. So they got to lie and come up with something. And if you think scientists are always right, just ask about the mongoose. Ask about the egret. Ask about the Kochi frog. All of that. These people will have regimes of monitoring and capturing alien species that came here. When I came here, there were snakes and alligators and crocodiles and all of that that we were instrumental in bringing to public consciousness. If you Google Carol Cox, alien species, if you want to talk about alien species and toxoplasmosis and all of that, I will submit to you. Read my background and you will understand. I think I'm qualified more than anybody in this state to talk about alien species. Because when I arrived here, you could walk into a store and buy frogs, helicopter catfish. You could buy piranha. You understand? You could buy snakes. Yes, you could buy lizards. Mm-hmm. And it was a day that I was in Guam that I was standing around a tree that they had put chicken wire around, and it looked like a Christmas ornament. And this tree was electrified. And they were trying to protect the last few Mariana crow and the fruit bats that lived on Guam, to keep the brown tree snakes from eating them. So it was that on that return trip I thought, this is funny. In Hawaii, you can buy piranha, you could buy scorpions, you could buy all kinds of alien species in stores. You could get on the plane and bring in a horny toad that squirts blood from his eyes. You could get all of that. And so I decided to do something. This was before everyone's talking about alien species. And if you think I'm lying and trying to portray myself as something that I'm not, just do some Googling. And you will find that it first started with an alligator that was found in Manawili Stream. The Agriculture Department called me up as a special agent and said, this is an endangered species, a threatened, so we need to get your permission. Smuggle it here by putting it on ketamine and carrying it on board of the airplane. I mentioned that because, you see, alien species. Driving down the highway after I had seized the animal from a home in the cougar in Mono and near Hawaii Kai up in the hills there. And I'm told by one of the state authorities, we can't let this go public. We can't, because it's going to scare people. Well, the newspaper wrote an article, first alligator, now cougar, because it required me to go and take those measures, that action, to bring to the light the practices and the tolerance for alien species coming. And if you remember, there was a piranha raised, found in Wahiawa Reservoir. we then get to figure out where all these piranha are coming from. Well, Manoa, the Mauna Loa, there was an individual there selling and importing them in the mail. Piranha. If you recall, there was a, for some of you old timers, one of the inspectors, agriculture inspectors, accompanied me to seize these animals, and then in turn, he was bitten on the hand and showed up in the newspaper with a big gauze in his head, almost as large as his head. His thumb was, the piranha practically bit it off. So, when it comes to alien species like, quote, cats and rats and bats and mice and all of those things, I think I'm pretty much, but also I'm pretty much concerned with, don't browbeat the public and lie to them to get them to do what you want them to do. Because your, what you want them to do is not based on fact. It's based on falsities and manipulation. That's not going to last long. But respect them, and they will appreciate the importance of screening out. And if, in fact, cats are the problem, then we will be dealing with it, but deal with it from an intellectual aspect rather than you got to browbeat the people, make a law, sneak around, talk to your legislator, get a law, and you're still going to be faced with problems. If not cats, it'll be something else tomorrow, because this town does not hold its end of the bargain. How on earth can you sneak a live cougar aboard an airplane in a carry-on baggage when you have an agriculture department that require you to declare what animals are you brought in or what animals are prohibited? So I'm not buying it. And there's so much more to think about. Not defending any one particular point, but I thought I would give a little historical background on this thing called alien species. And what I've learned, colleges are great places of great learning institutions, but also they could be driven like anybody else that's money hungry and power hungry. And we're going to be talking about Richard School of Law and the DLNR and Castle Foundation and how it gave money to the UH Foundation or the Richard School of Law to fund an academy for the DLNR, and the, how they circumvented in the hiring practices and acquisition rules and, you know, those kinds of rules and spending money. We're asking those questions because if you think that you can see the government facility as being something that you can get inside of and then take over control of it and run your own policies, you're not representing all of the people. You infiltrate by placing it through hook and crook. And then you turn around and make an environmental court. And so the person that donates the money to DLNR, are they, is that protection money? When they go to develop or do something illegal in their activities with their lands and development, are they protected because they gave monies to the Richard School of Law to give or through UH Foundation? We don't know exactly which one they're going to claim, but then DLNR gets to send its men to academy. But who gets the, and if you're listening to this, just think, there's a lot more to it, and there's many of thousands of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, being squandered. All under the pretense that it's protection of wildlife. There is no protection of wildlife. The protection of wildlife is at the fingertips of the public. It's the public who sees these things and report them. We don't have the manpower to go out and patrol. We haven't dedicated the millions of dollars to have a boat that work as a platform so we could have officers patrolling the oceans. We are at the mercy of the U.S. Coast Guard. So priorities, right? Okay, well, thank you for joining me on talk808.com. This is the Carol Cox Show, and thank you, and we will be coming back with much, much more, and this is the voice of the people. Take care, and we'll see you later.